Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. 800-531-3815. Eleanor Solomon and Richard DeKayser are our guests. Eleanor's book is called Virtual Money, folks, Understanding the Power and Risks of Money's High-Speed Journey into Electronic Space. If you want to find out how money moves around the world, how it really moves around the world in little ones and O's, basically that's how it moves around the world. You can read Eleanor's book. It's plain English, and it's a way for regular folks like me to understand how our money moves around the world. So I recommend it to you. And Eleanor, that book's available wherever books are sold and in all the libraries, I would think.
Yes, yes.
And Richard DeKayser is our guest as well. He's with National City Bank, and we'll get him to tell us a little bit about his bank in a little bit later on. Richard, we were talking about, I just asked you a question. I had to stop you. Folks, what's happening right now in corporate world is the corporations, whether they're profitable or not, they're sitting on tons of cash. Microsoft's got like $50 billion or something like that, and we've heard about a lot of other companies. And, Richard, is it reasonable to compare the current state of capital, the capital economy in this marketplace, with what's going on in Japan, with consumers saving their money and not investing it and not being entrepreneurial? Isn't that kind of can we use that comparison for the United States?
No, I don't think we can, Jim, and here's why. While businesses indeed are saving their cash, and again, profits are up, depending upon how you measure it, somewhere around 15 to 20% on a year-over-year basis, they are very reluctant to invest. The uncertain economic environment is prompting them to hoard that cash, and that is similar to Japan. What is hugely dissimilar to Japan, however, is that consumers there are saving a lot, and they're not doing so here. In fact, consumer savings as a share of income have dropped over the past couple of months as consumers have been prompted to try and seize good deals on everything from automobiles to home appliances and the like. Mm-hmm. And consumers are by far and away the principal source of savings in America. So unless they get into the same swing that businesses are now, that is, they decide to hunker down and try and serve larger shares of their income for the future, we're not headed the same way Japan is. Though I will grant you, for the business sector,
well, I was comparing the Japanese consumer directly to the U.S. corporate situation, not the consumer to consumer, because you're exactly right. In America, consumers and small businesses who are still entrepreneurial, still investing, you know, the small businesses have done an awful lot to hold up the economy as well, Richard, as you know. But that's just something that concerns me. And I don't think, Eleanor, you've been a Fed economist. You've studied this for a long time. Do you remember reading about a time when corporations were sitting on as much cash as they are?
No, and I've never remembered a time where deflation was this much of a concern. And indeed, the Fed and Governor Bernanke in particular made a wonderful speech explaining that the Fed had the tools to deal with this. Comparisons with Japan, he said, our infrastructure is different, the mindset is different, but the Fed can increase the money supply, can buy long-term bonds to get long-term rates down.
Yeah.
And we're getting him to speak to the Cosmos Club about this because people are concerned about deflation, but I don't really think that's a problem.
I want to get to deflation next, but Richard, with all this cash, my friends in the IT industry are telling me that they expect the economy to pick up for them after the middle of the year from the second. They're expecting a pretty good second half of this year. If we can get the Iraqi thing out of the way, and if some of what the IT people are telling me comes true, could there be a floodgate opening up for capital spending and just wash over us?
That's exactly what I believe will happen. Now, of course, it's tenuous based on the timing of Iraq and its outcome, but I think the best guess is that we've put at least the most disturbing aspects of Iraq behind us by April or thereabouts. And as a result, we see businesses with extremely lean inventories will resume investing, and we'll see their wariness about purchasing new capital good, including information technology, come back. Mm-hmm. Now, on top of that, you've got some other things going on, which is that the government has passed some extremely generous incentives for businesses to make these capital purchases, and those incentives start to go away at the start of 2004. So there's a nice big window of opportunity that's going to start closing towards the end of this year. So I think while firms haven't been inclined to bite at that opportunity because of everything else that's going on, if you put the uncertainty behind us, they've got a hoard of cash, financing is the best we've seen in a long time, and these tax incentives exist, I think it's going to cause for a very strong swing in the economy.
So if you're a small business owner, you might want to really focus on being able to not only get the business this year, but be able to deliver and put those assets in service, because that's going to be the key to getting those advantages, I think. Stand by, Eleanor. Thanks. Stand by, Richard. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about deflation. Is it real? And if it is, what will it look like? Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Ed Keller is a new friend I'm going to introduce you to. He's the author of a book called The Influentials. He says 1 in 10 Americans influence what the other 9 do. So we're going to find out if you're an influencer or you're one of the influenced. And that's coming up in the next half hour. In the half hour after that, we're going to be visiting with Skip Miller. We'll be talking about how to manage your sales force a little bit better. And I'm looking forward to getting Skip back on the show. Eleanor Solomon and Richard DeKayser are our guests. Richard is the chief economist for the National City Bank. And Richard, tell us a little bit about your bank, please.
Well, National City Corporation is a bank holding company. We extend from Michigan in the north down to Kentucky in the south and Pennsylvania in the east to Illinois in the west. We've got about 2,000 branches and are also the seventh largest, largest originator of home mortgages in the country.
And a pretty good SBA lender, too.
That's right. We rank number one in a number of those 6 states that I just described in terms of small business lending. And in fact, if you had to identify the single core competency of National City over its 150-plus years, it would be small and medium-sized business lending.
Right. Check them out. And that's nationalcitybank.com?
Nope, just nationalcity.com.
Check that out when you get a chance. Folks, when you go there, you can find out the branches that they have that are near you. Okay, Eleanor, let's talk about deflation. Tell us what deflation looks like.
Well, we haven't seen much deflation recently, but it would mean a sort of a continual lowering of prices, which feeds on itself. So you see prices going down as a consumer, and you wait for more sales to see if you can get it more cheaply or automobiles or whatever.
Whereas in inflation, where we rush to buy before it goes up, in deflation we wait to buy because we want it to go down. And by the way, I think, Eleanor, we should point out there's 2 kinds of deflation. There's good deflation and bad deflation.
Right.
Good deflation is when your cell phone that used to cost $500 now costs $50.
Right.
Bad deflation is when your home that used to cost $100,000 now sells for $80,000.
Right. Or when you wait for the sofa price to go down more.
Exactly. So do you think that we've got deflation in store?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm like the Fed people. I'm an optimist. I think that unlike Japan, we have the infrastructure, the optimistic outlook to handle it. We've got the Fed tools, which they don't have in Japan, open market operations, which can bring long-term rates down if necessary. I just think that I know that the Fed is studying all of this because the new governor, Ben Bernanke's speech, talked about all of the different tools and how he was confident about the future. But
Eleanor, one of the things that Mr. Broadus, in a speech that he made, the president of the Richmond Bank made, here's a quote from him in a speech he made this month. Policymakers obviously need to think more about how they would deal with a deflationary threat. So that sounds like you know, trust in God, but keep your powder dry.
Right. Of course, that's the bank as compared with the board.
Yeah.
Certainly the board is thinking about this.
What do you think, Richard?
No, I agree with Eleanor. I don't think deflation is a likely phenomenon. And I think one reason for that, I just want to focus, folks, is something we encounter here in the Midwest. A lot of businesses have been complaining about the lack of pricing power, which, of course, is what causes them to cut prices in instances when they do. But if you look where this decline in pricing power comes from, it is principally, in my opinion, a source of international issues, specifically the exchange rate of the dollar. The dollar rose, 25% between 1995 and the earlier part of 2000. And that just means that if you are perfectly on an even par with a competitor, say, in Europe, they've suddenly got a 25% price advantage on you. And that hurts, and that forces businesses to cut prices. Now, the reason I'm a little bit more optimistic here is that the dollar has reversed course. It's fallen over the course of the past year. We see import prices beginning to rise. And in my opinion, we're going to see pricing power return to domestic businesses. And we're already seeing some of that already.
Some of the impact of pricing, of having difficulty with pricing power, is also some paradigm shifts that are happening in various industries that are actually, it seems to me, that are actually part of the good deflation. In other words, where one part of an industry gets caught with an old paradigm when the new paradigm is coming out better and cheaper.
Competition.
Isn't that a good thing, Richard?
Well, that is, and you're right. This is the other argument for diminishing pricing power is that the economy is becoming more efficient and competition, exactly, Eleanor, is intensifying, and as a result, businesses' profit margins are getting narrowed down as they're forced to try and meet their competitors. In response to that, however, I simply, and so the Internet, for example, would be one way we're seeing this more competitive economy come into play. Mm-hmm. I think that's going on, to be sure, but those kinds of economic restructurings typically evolve very slowly over extended periods of time, and in my opinion, doesn't jive with the abrupt decline that we've seen in pricing power over the course of the past couple of years. In other words, I don't think the economy has changed in a revolutionary way over such a short period of time as to explain this lack of pricing power.
But, Richard, I'm going to get Eleanor in here before we go. We'll go to a break. But, Eleanor, it just seems to me that I'm not sure I agree with Richard, because it seems to me that we're going through some unusual paradigm shifts in so many different parts of the economy in a way that's unprecedented.
Well, I think I agree with that. I think the competition is unprecedented, the foreign competition as well as internal competition. So there have been real structural readjustments, some of them very good.
Yeah, I just think that so many people are faced with competitive and structural changes in their industries, in the marketplace, like eBay, for example,
right.
and things like that have really shaken things up.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, the speed with which these have hit us is unprecedented, clearly, in our marketplace. Tintel, we'll be right back. Stay with us. We're going to find out what the Fed's going to do this week right after these messages. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Eleanor Solomon, the author of Virtual Money, is one of our guests. And Richard DeKayser, Chief Economist with National City Bank Corporation, is our other outstanding economist on the show today, and two outstanding members of our Brain Trust. Okay, let's do a quick rundown of what the Fed's going to do today, what we think the Fed will do this week, I should say. They'll actually make their announcement tomorrow. What they're going to do, and then I want to get into what the president's going to talk about tonight, what he's got to say. Eleanor, ladies first. What's the Fed going to do?
No change. Fed funds 1.25%. Discount rate stays at 0.75. They'll try to put a somewhat optimistic or at least neutral spin on their statement.
Okay.
And that'll be it.
All right. Richard?
Eleanor said it all. The risks to the economy, I think, are not insignificant, but as we've been discussing, the prospect that if Iraq is put behind us, things could swing for the favorable in a very abrupt fashion prevents them from, I think, cutting rates too far. So standing pat, watching and waiting, it's not pleasant, but it's the right thing to do.
I agree with both of you. In fact, I agreed with you a month ago, because in my predictions for 2003, I predicted that the Fed would not raise rates, actually, or change rates until their September meeting, when I predicted that they would raise rates 0.25 point, not they would actually go up 0.25 point in September. So, and as both of you know, I'm frequently wrong, but never in doubt. Okay, now, the president's giving his State of the Union speech tonight. And I don't know, what's he got to say? What does he need to say? The stock market's just closed below 8,000 for the first time in how long? Can't remember. And we've got all these other challenges. We've got our allies complaining at us. We've got people, you know, the Democrats are carping at the president right now. He's a leader. There's no question about it. I think he'll do the right thing. But what has he got to tell us tonight?
Well, he's got to be optimistic. He will be optimistic. Sure, we're in a soft patch, to use Greenspan's words, but we've still got growth going very well, high productivity, and with new taxes, tax policies kicking in, there'll be more money for investment spending and consumer spending.
Yeah.
And the policy has to be implemented.
So you think he's going to be kind of a cheerleader tonight? He's going to just convince us that that everything's going to be okay?
Well, he's got to be a cheerleader.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly would be under the circumstances.
Yeah. Richard?
I think the two items that are going to take up the bulk of his time is, number one, is going to be Iraq, because I think he recognizes that Iraq has also become an important aspect of economic policy, and
right.
with the uncertainty that it's creating, he needs to address it, and I think he'll address it by signaling that there's going to be a quick rather than a reluctant move towards conflict in the Middle East. Second part of the second point he's going to focus on is going to be his tax cut plan, the 672 10-year tax cut plan, which they've announced a little over a month ago and have been aggressively selling. I think he's going to give an aggressive sales job, pointing to why this is a good thing for the economy and hopefully getting the legislature to move towards his end in enacting something before spring. I don't think it's going to work, but I think that's going to be his attempt.
Regardless of what he says, we've got to get the Iraqi thing resolved one way or the other before anybody feels any kind of confidence. And so I think all that will happen. The good news, I think what makes people confident, a little more confident about the rest of the year, is the fact that if whatever happens is going to happen in the next 60 days. Eleanor, last thoughts.
Well, I just hope this cloud can be lifted. Not that I want to go to war with Iraq. I don't.
Do you think we will go to war with Iraq?
Certainly hope not, but we probably will.
What do you think, Richard?
That's my bet as well. We're kind of in an awkward position here since the administration put Iraq on the front burner. At this point, if they were to back away, they would see their credibility diminished, and that would hurt them over the long run. So I think that now that they've let the genie out of the bottle, their feeling is there's no option but to move ahead, and that's my expectation.
Quick number, what's the economy going to grow at in 2003? Richard?
I see growth over the course of the year starting out slow but picking up dramatically as it progresses. I think we'll see a year-over-year gain in excess of 3%. Look for something around 3.5%.
All right. I predicted 4% at the beginning of the year. Eleanor, what do you think?
3.5% to 4%.
All right. Thank you very much, Richard and Eleanor. Both of you, great job today. Enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks. We'll see you later. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, next time you're thinking about taking a risk, think about this. A ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.